Well, I mean, a lot of our writers are non-Asian.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make a difference what community you come from. You can still talk about issues that, you know about. You know, you might be talking about fashion. You might be talking about food. You might also be talking about an Asian family that lives next door to you. You know, you can still, you can still be part of, and you can still be a reader. We have lots of readers that are non-Asian who read our content. Exploring the whole older side of it, we haven't really done that simply because, again, we're aiming our content at the 18 to 34-year-old demographic, and we wouldn't want to split that up into another audience because then there's a whole lot. I mean, that something like that, we'd probably look at a different site completely, so that content, again, is just geared towards that audience. But the plan is to do a lot more with this. It's here in the UK. And then to replicate that in India initially, and then in the US as well, because those are the three main areas or the three main countries where we get our readers from. So it's offering out again that content or similar content, but from writers and editors within those countries who can have a part of the Dispatch pipe, but .in or .us or whatever else they want to do that. So it's, but it's also obviously going to add a lot more clout to us and what we do within those countries as well. But we definitely haven't looked at the older audience simply because we're focused on the 18 to 34.
What advice would you give to magazines starting up that hypothetically think they have a niche? What advice would you give to those people who want to really sell that niche as almost like a personality, as almost like a whole business model to people, so they're attracted to their website or wherever their magazine is or whatever?
I'd say first of all, do your research, find out who you believe your readers are. Once you've got a good understanding of why they'd want to read your content, what makes you different from everybody else that's out there, then test it. Don't just go guns blazing and this is what we're going to do and without actually testing, putting an article out or putting a few articles out and see what response you get. Because one of the things you have to get quite quickly savvy with is the whole Google Analytics side of things and how that works. And then also have a look at, really focus on what's happening over the next 2 to 3 years in your space, because digitally things are changing all the time. And, 80% of our readers come through smartphone usage, and that's on the increase. So we always have to make sure that the site is responsive and everything's workable, not only on the desktop but also on phones and iPads and all the other different devices. So I'd definitely make sure you've got a technical person in the team who can look at that. And then be prepared to put in some real hard work for a few years before you even start talking to anyone who wants to advertise on the site, because you quite quickly burn your bridges with a potential future advertiser if they feel, you've ripped them off.
Yeah.
If you can't do what it says on the tin, if you can't help them, because the main thing they'd want to do is, if they're advertising, is hopefully earn some more money or gain awareness in the niche that you're in. If you can't do that, or you can't demonstrate that you've done that, then they won't want to talk to you and they'll remember that in the future. But one of the main things is, your niche has to be strong. It has to be, you have to make sure you've done your research on that niche. If you feel you've got something, and I don't be afraid to go out there and experiment. Definitely not. Go out there and do as much experimenting as possible. There's still niches out there that I have not been tapped. So anyone who says, it's never been done, and we grew from nothing. When we started this, we've had no funding to start this, a bit stuff and grow a team and get all the writers and do all the stories. We've had no funding. So, that's just happened simply because we've had to just learn how to survive and barely nothing. And we also, on the other side of what we did with Disabits, was we actually started developing our own apps, our own websites. We started offering all the services that we use on Disabits. We developed another team which would sell those back out into businesses. So someone said, my business sells cakes. I need a video to show what it would look like at a wedding, etc. So we'd actually go out and we'd film that for them and we'd charge them for the video. But that is the same team doing that video that was doing videos for Disabits. And then the same photographers that we'd use on Disabits would use on photography services for businesses. And the same writers who will do a press release will be the same writers who write our content. So it's the same team who are doing two different sets of work, but one of them is generating money near enough straight away because you can compete with all these other businesses. And the second one is a slow burner and will take for you to gain that traction before you can actually start selling services on it. But the end game is, and always has been for us, is to monetize this a bit. And as we do that, we're slowly, slowly saying goodbye to all the digital services that we've been offering throughout the year simply because we see this as a much more better place to be. And the passion was always there to kind of start this off and to keep it going and then to branch out and to do what we're trying to do now. Yeah. So it's perseverance and hard work and test.
You mentioned the relaunch on the 10th of March. Mm-hmm. What factors have been involved in that? Is it about mobile, or are there other elements that you're redesigning for?
So the main aspect is mobile, but the other aspects are also to make... One of the main things that we've struggled with is photos. So Getty are all over everything. You know, you can't touch anything online without Getty slamming a lawsuit on you or trying to claim it's theirs. So within the current articles that we have, sometimes they can have 3 to 5 minimum in terms of photos. And what we try and do at the moment is source as many of those freely as possible. So photos are already being shared on social media. Photos that are already in the public domain, which you can use, or photos that we can credit the photographer with and gain their permission to use before we use them. And the other thing is we check every single photo that we put out through Getty's own internal tool, which tells you if it's a Getty image. And that's a real pain. You know, that could take 3-4 hours just to source photos for an article. So the thing on the new site that we've done is we've introduced a system which actually resizes one photo 3 times. So it makes that workflow a lot quicker. It lets the writers input their content quite quickly, and it's automatically SEO'd to come out. So it gives you all the information that where you should be putting it, gives you the green light saying it's ready to go. And then what we're also doing within that is also allowing a lot of our current writers to actually be publishers now. So once we've trained them in that, because every single article that goes out, I forgot to mention, is actually written in their own house style. So any writer that comes on has to learn our house style before they're actually allowed to write and then publish and etc. So we're actually allowing a lot of our writers now publishing rights to start publishing their own articles, because the new site will mean that we need to up our output of content, because it's a wider screen, there's more content visible, there's more internal links, and it'll also mean that a lot of our old content, features-wise, which is still relevant and still gets read, can be easily read. Well, at the moment, it gets hidden in the current site simply because you can't see the articles without searching for them. So what we're doing there is we're repurposing a lot of our old content through the site, but that content is still also relevant. So sometimes we wrote an article like 3 years ago, someone picks it up and is owner of a Facebook page where there's 2 million subscriptions, and they share it, and the site goes crazy because they've shared an article which is 3 years old, but it's still relevant. So it's a taboo, it's a feature, or something that's still quite current. So, it just allows us to be able to kind of reuse a lot of our content that gets hidden currently, and also makes the workflow a lot quicker. And as you said, it allows us to really optimize for advertising, and optimize for mobile phone, smartphone usage. And smartphone usage in India, I believe India now is number one in terms of smartphone usage and new smartphones being bought. So a lot of our current readers can at times come from straight from India. Now, if we're writing about sport or we're writing about Bollywood, those are two of the main areas where we'll find an influx of Indians coming in and reading our content, simply because as it goes out, gets captured, goes into Google News, we're number one in Google. And they're all reading that content. So we have to make sure that with the rise in India of the smartphone use, that we have to make sure we're keeping up with the times on that side of it.